You're gaslighting me. So yeah. What is meant by gaslighting?
Well, you know, therein lies...
I've heard it used so many different ways.
Exactly, yes. Therein lies a bit of a, you know, sometimes on like a bad Borscht Belt comic, I have a shtick, you know?
Yes.
One of my shticks is I think people overuse the term gaslighting, mm-hmm. not because it's a useless term. On the contrary, I think it's a very useful term.
Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I'm your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy. Hello, viewers and listeners. I want to mention again, if you're listening to this from one of the podcast platforms, which is the podcast platforms have this in the audio version, if you are interested in seeing us in our full visual color splendor, all you have to do is go to my blog, brucechalmer.com/blog, or you'll find the blog tab, and you will see that there will be a link to the video of this right there, and you'll get to watch us as well as hear us. And that just adds to the excitement. At least that's what we've been told. So I choose to believe them.
That's what
people
they
say
tell
us. They like looking at us. And
well,
that's,
you know, it is interesting because when we started out audio, then we went to video, and then we went back to audio, and then we heard from a number of people that they missed seeing us. So yeah. We're and back to both.
Yeah, the problem was the podcast platforms wouldn't carry the video.
Correct.
And they wouldn't carry the audio, you know, of mm-hmm. the video. So anyway, here we are. You can get us anywhere you get us, and we're glad you're here. So Judy, tell folks the title of today's episode.
You're gaslighting me.
Ooh, yes. A term I hear a lot, and we'll get into that a little bit. And this was stimulated by a listener question for us. And I'm going to put in a plug for that right now. Of course, we'll say this again later at the end of our podcast. But if you've got a question, drop us a line. Yeah. You can go to ctn7.com. That's our website. You'll see there's a very easy way. Just push a button on there, and you'll be able to send us a message if you have a question that you'd like us to talk about. If you'd like to suggest guests, those of you who've been following us know we have had lots of fascinating guests, mm-hmm. and we have a few more lined up coming in the next few weeks.
Yes, we do.
So do drop us a line and suggest yourself or someone else to be a guest. We mm-hmm. hope you will do that. And let's talk about the books that got all this started.
The books, yes. The one that got it started is Reigniting the Spark.
You can hold it up on the video.
I could do that. So Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And then more recently came out with this book.
It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy is Wrong.
Indeed. And those are available anywhere books are sold. And I got to put in a plug for a couple other books that I've recently come out with. These are shorter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like half or less the size of the other books. But one of them is called 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life. And that book is available on Amazon. You can spend whatever the heck I gave as the price for it, $2.99, I think. It's available as a Kindle. I'm going to make that one be a paperback as well. Mm-hmm. It's a great little book, and I'll give it to you for free if you sign up for my newsletter, folks. So you don't have to spend the money. Just go to brucechalmer.com, and when you do that, you'll see a little box that makes it possible to sign up for my newsletter. And when you do that, you'll get a link for a free version of that one. So you don't have to spend money on that one.
There you go.
And then very recently, I came out with another one called My Husband Complains About My Cleaning. What do I do? Hint, it's not about cleaning. Mm-hmm. And that one is for sale on Amazon. And it's in response to so many searches we've discovered mm-hmm. of people searching for help with that very issue.
Right, and your popular blog post of the same title,
exactly,
right?
That's how we knew about it, actually. Mm-hmm. There's so many people coming to that blog post. We saw what the searches were for.
Right.
This is a big topic out there. Evidently, there's lots of, they're almost all women, it seems like. They're women complaining about their husbands mm-hmm. who are complaining about their cleaning, and yep. it's a relational issue.
It's a relational
issue. And that book, I go through all my favorite topics. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, you know, again, it's short and pithy and rather sassy, if I do say so myself. So I hope you'll check that one out as well. So Let's get on with today's
topic. Let's get on with
topic.
Gaslighting. You're gaslighting me. So yeah. What is meant by gaslighting?
Well, you know, therein lies...
I've heard it used so many different ways.
Exactly, yes. Therein lies a bit of a, you know, sometimes on like a bad Borscht Belt comic, I have a shtick, you know?
Yes.
One of my shticks is I think people overuse the term gaslighting, mm-hmm. not because it's a useless term. On the contrary, I think it's a very useful term. Mm-hmm. And Judy, you are, between us, by far the maven on old movies. Mm-hmm. You are the folks, if you want to know about old movies, talk to Judy. She's a maven on the subject, and I'm in awe. And since we've been together now for 20 years, I've learned more than I ever knew about old movies. And thank you, Turner Classic Movies, for making that possible.
My favorite rest stop.
So tell people about the movie Gaslighting.
Gaslight. Yes. It was a movie with Ingrid Bergman, Charles Boyer, and a very young Angela Lansbury. And in it, Charles Boyer...
1940s, I think, right?
Yes.
It was from the 40s, yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. He plays rather a rakish sort of fellow who marries Ingrid Bergman because she has some kind of fortune that he knows about. And
one of the most beautiful women ever to act on screen, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just and beautiful in all ways, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just she's striking. Ingrid Bergman. So anyway, yes, go ahead.
Anyway, so she doesn't know he married her for this fortune. She thinks he loves her as she loves him. And he's going up to a room in the house. And so every time he goes up, the gas light, because it's back in the day when before electricity, the gas light dims. So when she says she's hearing thumping sounds and she sees the gas light going down, he tells her she's imagining things. So basically he's trying to make her think she's crazy.
Yes. And I want to make a distinction again, correct me if I miss, mm-hmm. you know, cause I know, you know, the movie much better than I do. I think I've seen it once,
mm-hmm.
but he's not merely telling her the things she suspects are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's actively going about ways. He's like making noises for him to then deny that he's made.
Correct.
He's trying to drive her crazy. He's trying to make her think she's crazy.
Yes, he's trying to make her think that she, not that, yes, at first it's not crazy. He just wants her to think that she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yes, yes. And it, that's important in my view of the distinction in terms of how the term is used,
mm-hmm.
because initially he's merely, and look, I say merely, this is not a good thing, you know, it makes it an interesting movie. But at first, he is merely trying to lie to her. Mm-hmm. He's merely trying to cover up what he's doing.
Right.
But then he sets about deliberately trying to get her to question her own sanity.
That is correct.
That's what gaslighting is.
Mm-hmm.
And so often people will use the term gaslighting when what I would claim they mean is lying.
Yeah.
Or covering up some bad thing that they're doing that they don't want to be discovered. So they'll lie about it, or they'll say, well, no, you're imagining things, mm-hmm. but they're not actively setting about to drive someone, you know, to force someone to question their sanity to such an extent.
And not to that extent, but it does force you to question what your beliefs are.
Yes. And I recognize, look, the reason I get so precious about saying, no, that's not gaslighting, that's lying, mm-hmm. is because I think gaslighting is an important concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what I say to folks, you know, when the idea of gaslighting comes up, if somebody's actually doing something akin to what Charles Boyer was doing in that movie, in other words, if I were not, I hate to put myself in this context, but what the heck, I'll speak in the first person. If I were cheating on you,
uh-huh.
God forbid, and I, look, folks, you know, what I've always told Judy is, if I were ever cheating on you, you should take me to a neurologist because it is so foreign. And I'm not making a statement of virtue here. Maybe I'm too afraid. I don't know. But it is so foreign to my concept of who I am that I can't imagine ever doing that. So if I did, it's probably because I'd have a brain tumor or something.
Mm-hmm.
The point being, if I were doing something I wanted to conceal from you and I lied about it, that would be sleazy.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be gaslighting.
Right.
But if I set about saying, okay, I'm going to... Here's an example I thought of when we were talking about this the other day, and it's probably ridiculous, but it's one that occurred to me, so I'll bet people have done it, you know. If I slipped something into your food, not a poison, but slipped something into your food that made it taste funny, and then said, you're crazy, it doesn't taste funny. If I deliberately set about to make you wonder what's the matter with you, that's gaslighting. And what I tell folks is, if you have somebody who is deliberately out to make you think you're crazy, as opposed to wanting you to not believe that they're doing something bad because they're lying about it, right?
Right.
If they're doing that, you're not in territory that involves making a relationship better. Get the hell out ASAP.
That's abuse.
And you're, I mean, look, there's degrees of abuse too, you know? That's dangerous. That's like, oh boy, you're dealing with a sociopath. Get the hell out.
Yeah, those people end up on Dateline.
Yeah, those people, exactly. Those are the ones who end up on Dateline. Now, having said that, I want to note, I mentioned we have a listener letter we'll get to in a little bit, and she says gaslighting, and I don't want to take away from, you know, she's using gaslighting in the way that I think is the much more common way.
Yeah.
I'm realizing, you know, I shouldn't be so precious about this. It's a perfectly fine way to use the term. It's how people use the term, right?
Right.
So she's using gaslighting in a much more common approach. Well, why don't we go ahead and do the letter?
Okay.
And yeah, go for it.
Okay, so an anonymous writer, we'll call Doris, writes, my 56-year-old husband does not seem to care about how his flaking on commitments, promises, agreements we made, etc., affects me. Whenever I approach him about a specific issue, he first verbally attacks me, gaslighting. Later, he pulls the I'm sorry card and pouts about being a bad guy, but refuses to address the actual issue I originally brought up. I'm a communicator and don't like sweeping things under the rug. I promise you that I bring them up in a kind, caring way. I'm losing hope and think it will never change.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, first, my first reaction is my heart goes out to Doris. And I will note, as I said earlier, or implied earlier, I hear a lot of this.
Yeah.
This is a very common issue. That doesn't make it easy, but it's a very common issue. And I'll even say, you know, I don't want to just say, oh, well, your husband's a jerk. And it's funny, because earlier in my career, that might have been my gut reaction, you know, and it's sort of interesting. It's like being the guy I am and capable of feats of arrogance, not that women aren't, but I think we men specialize in it in particular ways. You know, I tend to, I'll went through a period of time where I would bend over backwards to just assume that, well, it's because all guys like me are jerks. And, you know, it's sort of a way of protecting myself against recognizing my own ability to be a jerk, you know. But that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help her.
If she wanted to leave him, she'd leave him. She still could. That doesn't help her. Certainly doesn't help him. It doesn't invite him to be involved in solving this problem. So, and I'll look, I'll sneak in a little plug for that most recent book, you know, My Husband Complains About My Cleaning. I have a whole chapter in there for husbands.
Yeah.
And it really starts off by saying, look, you are welcome here too. And that's it, basically what I'm trying to say to couples I work with. You're both welcome in this conversation. You know, if you're having problems, and I don't mean to say that, you know, nobody's to blame. No, who knows? Maybe somebody is to blame, you know. But you're both welcome here. You're both valid people. I start with that assumption that, of course, is what I mean by faith. We're all valid people here. Let's work this out. Fair enough. So it's not just that, oh, your husband's a jerk. You know, yes, it sounds that way. Fair enough. I will, getting back to gaslighting, she's saying, well, just in the letter, whenever I approach him about a specific issue, he first verbally attacks me, and that's what she's identifying as gaslighting.
Right.
And I'll extrapolate that a little bit. You know, it's like, okay, what he's saying is, what's the matter with you that you think that? You know, could be some element of, oh, you're crazy to think that, you know, you're wrong to think that's what I'm doing. Or even if you're not wrong to think that's what I'm doing, why are you so sensitive about issues like that? Nobody else is. What's the matter with you? That's a classic. That one, that particular one, that why are you so sensitive about that? That's not just couples. Can you think of some other, do you know my favorite context for mentioning that one?
Parents.
Well, it's true of parents as well.
Children.
Yeah, but I'm thinking in a much more global scale. That's what racism is.
Oh,
that's what sexism
yeah, I
is.
I was coming up with that.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's what
thanks
anti-Semitism
it took me a
is.
Minute. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's what people, what white people say to people of color a lot is, why is it always about race? You're so sensitive about race. Oh, everything is about race.
Yeah.
Of course, the joke among Jews, and it, you know, we can joke about it. It's like anytime something happens, well, it's anti-Semitism.
Oh, well, yes.
You know, I can tell this. It's a joke among Jews, but it's a joke that has a basis. We know what anti-Semitism is in ways that non-Jews, and I say this to most of our listeners who I'm sure are likely to be not Jewish, of goodwill, you know, to folks of goodwill, you know, sorry folks, and not sorry, I'm not at all, you know, lucky you, you don't have to know much about anti-Semitism. We have to know about it. I wish I didn't.
Right.
And the same thing, you know, people of color will say about racism. It's like, it's not an option to know about racism.
Right.
It's an option for me to know about racism, and because I present as white. So.
Yeah, but you don't have to live with it every day.
I don't have to live with it. So I can be of goodwill, and my job is to be of goodwill. I want to help folks, but I'm not subject to it.
Right.
I'm not subject to sexism the way women are. And so all of that being true, that sense of why are you so sensitive is what arises in that context. Now, he starts with that, but then it's interesting because she says later he pulls the I'm sorry card and pouts about being a bad guy. So he recognizes he's being a jerk, you know, in those moments.
Right. But he doesn't recognize it in the moment. He recognizes it afterwards.
Yes.
But it seems like they've gotten into this routine where she says something, he immediately verbally attacks her, then he feels bad, then he says he's sorry, but then he won't actually address the actual issue.
Well, and notice that what she says, he pouts about being a bad guy, which is essentially a way of deflecting any sort of possibility of
exactly.
working on it. You know, and I suppose I'll put in here, you know, if you think about what makes a useful, a genuine apology, what makes a genuine apology, I always love this little bit of irony, you know? If I'm gonna apologize to you for doing something that I regret, I better feel bad about it.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I wouldn't apologize, you know? I better feel guilty because it's like, okay, that's a message to me that says I have violated my own values. I don't want to treat you that way. I don't want to hurt you, of course. And I don't, whatever it is that you're angry or hurt by, I don't want to repeat, you know, all of that is true. So I better feel bad about it. But if I feel, if all I do is come to you and say, I'm a terrible person, you know, you shouldn't have married me. I'm just a terrible person. I am fundamentally failing to address what you need.
Yeah.
Well, which is, I mean, maybe you can address like, what do you need in those moments if you're the one who's
Well, you don't
hurt?
Want an apology that says, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, which is not an apology. That isn't even saying I feel bad about it.
I know.
That's saying, I'm sorry you're so sensitive and so weak that you can't manage something that any other person would be able to handle without difficulty, but I guess that's who you are, so I'm sorry you feel bad.
You know? I'm sorry you're a jerk.
I'm sorry you're a jerk. Yeah, I'm sorry you're oversensitive. Yeah, oh, great.
Yeah, exactly.
But of course, that's not what he's saying there. He's saying, I'm sorry, I'm just a terrible person.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a bad guy, and I know it was probably a bad thing that I said, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then she'll say, well, why don't you? Then who knows? I don't know how, you know, it sounds like nothing's getting solved with the two
well,
of them.
Well, the problem is, if I really go with what I'm imagining she's talking about here, if I went with, oh, I'm just a terrible guy. I know I'm a terrible guy, so I'm sorry.
Right, so how do you address, you know, yeah,
that,
like you said,
you can hear
reflecting.
Yeah, that isn't even really an apology.
No.
It's basically hitting you with, well, that's who I am, so yes, I know it hurts you. It's tough. You know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That does not, that's, apology implies you actually genuinely, or at least an effective apology implies, you genuinely want to reassure the other person that you know, actually, often an apology will include, I think I understand how I hurt you. I'd love to understand it better because I really don't want to do that again. I really do,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So
recognizing what you did that was wrong.
Exactly. Or even recognizing what you did that was hurtful, even if you don't know if it was wrong.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean?
I should have said that.
No.
Recognizing what you did was hurtful, or at least was what's causing the conflict.
Yeah, because that's an interesting one, because then there are those times when I might hurt you and not know that I was going to hurt you, and that I feel bad about that, and come to find out that what I hurt you with was something that, oh my God, I really wish it hadn't hurt you, but it's a choice I would make again. So we should talk about that. Mm-hmm. I hope you can find a way to not be hurt by that, because I might make a similar decision. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's an interesting relational problem. That's, you know, the one of my go-to stories that I've often told folks with respect to this is a time when I was working with a colleague of mine who is a non-Jewish woman, and it's relevant that she's not Jewish, who said something, I don't even remember what it was, mm-hmm. that scared me.
Yeah.
You know, it tweaked my Jewish vulnerability in ways she had no clue. And this is a person of goodwill. Again, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a Nazi here.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And she did something I so learned from, because here was one of those situations where, even though I'm the guy, you know, I'm the man and she's the woman, I was in the woman's position. Do you know what I mean? I felt at risk, and she didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And she did an amazing thing, because what she could have said, and what I might have said, she could have said, seriously, you don't think I'm a Nazi or something, right? You do realize I'm not anti-Semitic, right?
Uh-huh. I mean,
she could have said that.
Yeah.
She didn't say that. You've heard me tell the story. Do you remember what she said?
No.
Well, I'll tell. Yeah. It stuck with me. And I tell this to clients, especially to men vis-a-vis women, you know. Uh-huh. What she said was, wait a second, I think there's something I don't understand. God, I get emotional when I even think about it. She said, I think there's something I don't understand, because I can see you're hurt by something, or you're bothered, you're scared by something. And I don't know what it was, and I would really like to understand it better. Mm-hmm. There's something about your experience I don't understand. Mm. Oh, my God. Mm. I immediately was grateful.
Yeah, and imagine how good that made you feel that she recognized the pain that she caused you.
Yeah, she recognized it, and she didn't invalidate it. That was the part that was so fascinating. Right. She said...
And she wanted to know how to mitigate it.
Yeah, she wanted to know how to mitigate it. And it was a classic situation of someone in privilege mm-hmm. being willing to open their heart, mm-hmm. which was so helpful to me, because I was the one in that circumstance who wasn't in privilege, which is, look, I'm normally a white guy, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm the one who's usually in privilege with respect to a lot of these dichotomies. But in this instance, I was scared by something, and she had no clue that she was scaring me.
Yeah.
But she was willing to hear it. She didn't invalidate me. It was amazing. And that's, look, as guy, that's what I learned. I said, oh, that's what it's like for women. And I say this to guys a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, when the guy gets it, it really seems to help the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, of course, because look, speaking as a guy, most of us really don't want to be assholes.
Right.
And we don't want to be hurting our wives, usually. Again, there are both men and women who can be just awful, mm-hmm. right? But most of us aren't. Most of us don't want to be. But we'll get defensive if we're feeling like we're being invalidated. Women will do that, of course. And men will be clueless. And then when Doris's husband encounters when this happens, unfortunately, and not surprisingly, he doesn't get understanding from her. Of course, because he's just hurt her, right?
Right, right.
But what he gets is anger, and that just solidifies his defensiveness.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're going around in circles here.
Yeah.
I think they need to see a couple's therapist.
Gosh, that never would have occurred to me. Yeah. Oh, I have an idea. Couples therapy. Yeah, of course, right? That's what couples therapy is about.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it's about. I will mention in this context, we may do a whole episode on this, mm-hmm. but I mentioned to you this morning, I happened to see a Modern Love column in the New York Times
modern
today.
Modern Romance. Is it Modern Love?
No, Modern Love.
Modern
it's called
Love.
Modern Love,
okay.
Yeah. And it was a couples therapist, a woman couples therapist,
uh-huh.
writing about how she has... She doesn't practice what she preaches.
I
recognize that. You know, it's like, seriously? You don't have it all figured out just because you're a therapist? I'm thinking, yeah, that's true.
You know? They had to go to a couples therapist.
And actually the funny part was, and not to spoil the story, you can read it yourself, but the funny part was, it was the husband who suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think we need to do couples therapy. It's like, oh, yeah. To the couples therapist, you know?
Yeah.
And they did, and they've benefited from it, again, as mm-hmm. she describes it in the story.
Yeah.
But that is exactly it. And what therapy can do, and that's the interesting thing, you know, there are Dorises out there who might think that first of all, I'll address this in a second, too. First of all, they're thinking, he won't agree.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I have a whole chapter in my most recent book, my husband's complaints book.
Yep, yep.
How to get your reluctant guy to go to couples therapy. I actually did a video on that too, which you can get if you get the book. There's a link to the It'll point you to the video. If you get the Kindle version, there's a link right in there to the video. But indeed, she's probably right about that.
Yeah.
And the reason he won't do it is because he's terrified.
Yeah.
And the reason, you know, the reason he's having a hard time, the reason he gets all defensive, I'm not blaming her for him his being defensive. He's pissing her off enough so that no wonder she's pissed, right? She's got reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need in couples therapy is an atmosphere where both of them will feel like they are valid people to be feeling the way they're feeling, even though it may be problematic. And when, you know, if she drags him to a therapist who basically says, stop being a jerk, it's not going to work.
Well, you hope the therapist won't say that.
No, but a lot of therapists, they may not say it in so many words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my little rant about therapists. This sorry, colleagues, for being unfair. You can be unfair to me, too. I'm sure I deserve it. But there are, you know, I talk about this when I'll mention to couples often. I have a bias toward helping you stay together, of course, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not my, obviously not my decision. And I often raise the fact with people, you know, one of your options is to split up and you need to know that so you don't feel trapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I won't shy away from that. But I do have a bias. It's like, you know, don't leave any stone unturned, you know?
Sure.
There are many therapists who will claim they don't have such a bias. And it is, in fact, nonsense. We all have biases. And you know who points this out? Bill Doherty, Doherty, William Doherty. He's written a lot about this stuff. We all have biases. And if we claim we don't, we're actually just driving them underground. And a lot of those therapists, their bias is in fact toward splitting people up.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, why don't you split up?
Hmm.
There are a lot of folks who feel that way. Okay, I don't suggest going to a therapist who feels that way if you want to stay together, because they're going to more or less guide you in that direction. So the therapist to go to isn't that, unless if you really want to split up, well then don't go to couples therapy. If you really want to split up,
well, I think
it out,
you know? I think many, I don't want to say most or all, mm-hmm. because I know you see people in other situations, but most people do want to save the marriage or relationship, I think.
You know, it's interesting. I am sort of wondering about that, you know? I haven't counted, do you know what I mean? People who consult me, well, people who are consulting me, yes, I think a majority of them are doing it to save their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty substantial group of people, or, you know, percentage of people who consult me, and I'm guessing other therapists too, where one of them has 1 3/4 foot
check
out
out
the door, you know, and many, many times it'll be clear people are saying, this is kind of, it's due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm pretty sure I want to split up, but I don't want to do it without saying I at least tried therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectly legitimate, by the way, way in. And some of those folks, it turns around. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's futile to do couples therapy, even in terms of saving the relationship. But that does happen a fair amount.
But I think many folks seek out couples therapy because they do want to save their relationship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Of course, that's true. Yeah, that is definitely true. And certainly, in any given couple, one of them almost always feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rare that I'll have a couple where, this has happened, but it's rare we'll have a couple where they're both saying, yeah, this relationship's pretty well toast, but let's see what we can do. Occasionally, I'll get a couple where they've already decided to split up. That happens. But they have kids,
mm-hmm.
and we need to learn how to work together as divorced parents. I'm happy to help folks with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have done that.
Right.
It's certainly not a majority in my caseload.
Right.
But there are usually at least one party is saying, no, I want this to work. And the other party is at least somewhat open to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do it. So I hope that's helpful for Doris. That it's funny, you know, we could have just said, well, go to a therapist. Any questions? But I think it's that go to a therapist with an understanding that I guess I'm talking to Doris, who's the one who wrote to us.
Right.
That, your husband sounds difficult, and I sympathize with how difficult that is for you. He's got his reasons for that, too. And the only hope you'll have of actually turning this around is to recognize that. I'm not saying let him off the hook and don't be mad. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but again, I think that they need to break that cycle of his having that hair trigger reaction to every time she opens her mouth that he's going to jump on her and verbally attack her and then come back and apologize. And then whatever it is that she wants to get said doesn't get said. So they've got to break that cycle.
They do, and
they don't know how to do it on their own.
Yeah, exactly. And what perhaps what can emerge from some sessions, or maybe they could do this on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Read your book. Read my book. Yeah, read the books, of course. Read my books. That's true. But no, it really, it's funny. I do, of course, address this in my books.
Right.
If she gets hold of herself, which, you know, that's one of my little buzz phrases.
Right.
If she gets hold of herself so that she's not panicked about his response, her reaction to his response will be materially different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something you can fake. It's not communication rules, folks. It's not about communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that if she actually can recognize, look, I understand where it's, you know, I don't really understand where it's coming from, but it's coming from some fear in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't have to like it, but if she doesn't react angrily to it, if she says, yeah, I know where that's coming from, but we need to do something different about this. If she stays in that mode herself, it sometimes can invite him to calm down a little too. And or sometimes not. Again, they probably need therapy, but you know, you never know what happens. Only this is another one of the things I've many people have pointed out. It only takes one person to not succumb to the demands of the problematic pattern. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If one person doesn't play the role that this pattern is inviting them to play, it becomes a different pattern, even if the other person hasn't figured that out yet.
That's true.
It just takes one. I say that in my chapter about how to get a reluctant guy to try couples therapy. Partly, if you, I didn't put it exactly like this, but if you stop yelling at him and start recognizing, okay, he's terrified. He won't tell you he's terrified because we're guys and we don't say that, you know?
Uh-huh.
But if you at least entertain that possibility, you might be getting a fear reaction here. And you can relate to that because you know what fear feels like. We all know what fear feels like. And women often are even willing to admit it in ways that men often aren't. But if you recognize that, it's like, okay, then you can see he's got reason to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, I say that in the chapter. He's right to be terrified. It's like, you ever see, you know, couples that go to couples therapy and then they end up losing their relationship? Of course you have.
Yeah.
It happens. So he's not crazy to be afraid of it. He's not telling you he's afraid, which is frustrating. But if you look at it that way, it's like, yeah, it's probably he's afraid and he's got his good reason to be afraid. Then you relax and you say, all right, I still think it's a good idea, but I can see why you'd be reluctant. Yeah, I get it. That becomes a very different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I hope that has given you some insight, Doris, or whatever your name is.
Whatever your name is. Yeah. It's funny. Much of the time, people will write letters and they'll include their name and we'll change it anyway, just routinely. This time, the person said, prefer not to say, when it said name, which I totally respect. So we just invented the name.
Yes.
We always invent the name, but in this case, it's quite explicit.
So we hope that helps you. Yeah. And to our other viewers and listeners out there, if you have a question that you would like us to talk about on the air, as Bruce said earlier, go to our website, ctn7.com, and there's a place where you can send in your letters. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you'd like to suggest any guests to be on our show, again, you can go to ctn7.com, and there's a tab where you can sign up for all that good stuff.
And while we're on the subject of ctn7.com, this would be a nice time to mention our
merch.
Here we are holding up our beautiful, and for those of you who can't see it, our beautiful Couples Therapy in 7-word mugs in the 15 and 11-ounce sizes. They have our beautiful logo designed by my beautiful wife on one side. And on the other side, our inspiring message.
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
Which is funny. It's the first time we've actually said those words in that order in this episode today.
Ah.
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith. If you count it up, including and, you get 7 words. Those are the 7 words, the famous 7 words.
That's right. So you can get mugs, T-shirts, beautiful tote bags.
Yeah. We should, we don't have it handy right now. We should hold up the tote bag. The tote bag is really, if I were gonna buy one thing to like give as a gift or have,
yeah,
I mean, I like the
it's
mugs,
a nice
but
bag.
The tote bag is really, we use that a lot.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, please do that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget about, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, don't forget about signing up for the newsletter.
Absolutely.
So that you can get the freebie book, The 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life.
Yep, that one is, you can get absolutely free. That is a, whatever the heck price I put on it, value, I think $2.99 or something like mm-hmm. that. I didn't put it at a very high price on there because you can get it for free. But the point being, sign up for my newsletter. You get that. It's mm-hmm. it's really, it's a nice little booklet. It's, again, short to the mm-hmm. point, has mm-hmm. a bunch of stock photos in there that really, I think, add to it.
I think it does.
In full color.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, you get the, it's the downloaded version you get for free. I'm not going to give away the paperback version, which I'm going to get set up sometime in the near future. So there will be a paperback available of that. That'll cost you more because it's, after all, on paper. It costs something to print it. And speaking of books,
we have It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong is the latest book, and the original Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And that's available anywhere books are sold. While we're on the subject, I do want to put out an appeal to our loyal viewers and listeners. Please, if you would do us the favor, do me the favor, especially as the author of reviewing, mm-hmm. at least rating, and maybe reviewing, but at least rating, give us a 5-star rating, folks.
Right.
Just the more ratings there are, the better it is. Just in terms of the algorithms that, you know, they show it to more people, and then more mm-hmm. people get interested in it. So if you would go at the Amazon page is the place to go.
Right.
Go to the Amazon page for that and for the books, and just give us a rating while you're there. That would really be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Much appreciated.
And if you're a fan and listener who enjoys this podcast, please share us. Again, rate us, follow us, do all those things that people do with podcasts.
And so until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.